Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, August 13, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. White supremacists vastly outnumbered in D.C. and in Charlottesville. Also on the Monday rundown, the latest ruling against the EPA, just one of many environmental lawsuits. And we will let you know why industrial hemp farming is making a comeback in Wisconsin. First, our top story. After weeks of hype, the New York Times reports white supremacists managed to muster just a couple of dozen supporters on Sunday in the nation's capital for the first anniversary of their deadly rally in Charlottesville, finding themselves greatly outnumbered by counter-protesters, police officers, and representatives of the news media. The Times reports a similar dynamic to the one in Washington played out in Charlottesville, Virginia, on Sunday, where few if any far-right demonstrators could be found, and where the most palpable tensions developed between left-wing protesters and the police, whose presence in the city was heavy, and some argued heavy-handed. It is estimated nearly 50,000 Minnesotans will have submitted ballots ahead of tomorrow's primary election in Minnesota, a record number according to the Secretary of State.
Voters will decide primary races for two U.S. Senate seats, three open House seats, the governor, and several other races. Ginny Gelms is election manager in Hennepin, Minnesota's most populous county. She says Minnesota historically has one of the highest rates for voter turnout in the nation.
We are seeing really high turnout. Our absentee ballots, we've already broken the record for the most absentee ballots we've ever seen for a primary election.
Nearly 400 candidates have filed to run for state and federal offices in Minnesota this year, a spike not seen since the early 2000s. I'm Roz Brown.
A court ruling forcing the EPA to ban a pesticide linked to brain damage in children was just one of many legal actions seeking to force the agency to do its job. Here's Andrea Sears.
The EPA had concluded in 2016 that the use of chlorpyrifos on food must be banned. But last year, the agency put the ban on hold until at least 2022, saying more study was needed. According to Miriam Rotkin-Ellman, senior scientist at the Natural Resources Defense Council, the lawsuit that brought about that ruling was just one of more than 100 that have been filed against the Trump administration over environmental issues in a little more than a year and a half.
We're talking about rollbacks or refusal to do their job in the areas of clean air, clean water, the pesticides that are used in the fields and end up in our food supply, and the chemicals used in our homes.
Opponents of the chlorpyrifos ban point out that it was approved by the EPA in 1965 and has passed strict federal pesticide safety standards several times since. But Rotkin-Ellman says the most recent studies have found that the pesticide is not only acutely toxic to farm workers, but that prenatal and early childhood exposure causes damage including reduced IQ, loss of working memory, and delayed motor development.
And new research into Indiana's school voucher program reveals academic progress may not be on par with expectations. Mary Sherman has been looking into the reports.
Researchers from two universities, Notre Dame and Kentucky, examined the standardized test scores of more than 3,000 low-income students who switched from public to private school during the first year of the Indiana School Choice Scholarship Program. Study co-author Joseph Waddington says they found the math scores of voucher students in private schools dropped compared with peers who stayed in public schools.
So it didn't matter whether a student was male or female, whether a student was white or black, whether or not they were special education student or not, all students across the spectrum experienced these losses in mathematics.
The losses continued 4 years into the program. On English tests, Waddington says there was no clear differences between voucher students and public school students.
Last year, Indiana spent more than $150 million on its voucher program. That's the largest in the country. Last year, Indiana spent more than $150 million on its voucher program, which is the largest in the country. After Hurricane Harvey in 2017, a viral photo from a Texas assisted living facility of residents sitting in waist-deep water made headlines. A new report shows that's just the tip of the iceberg. It comes from AARP Texas. The organization's Amanda Fredrickson explains.
In the chaos that comes sometimes with emergencies, they didn't follow their own plan. And as a result, a resident was left behind. They didn't figure that out till 4 hours later. That resident was found locked in her room.
The report notes that in Houston, residents of a facility were left completely unattended during the storm. And finally, Eric Tegetoff tells us industrial hemp farming has come to Wisconsin. State lawmakers passed legislation allowing farmers to research production of the crop in November, although the federal government still considers hemp a Schedule I controlled substance. It doesn't have the psychoactive effects that marijuana has.
As part of the research program, the Michael Fields Agricultural Institute is growing hemp to explore the best methods for farmers and will share their tips at their Industrial Hemp Production Field Day on September 4th. Perry Brown, head of Michael Fields, says hemp is a good fit for Wisconsin farmers' crop rotation because it has the same growing season and uses many of the same resources as corn, beans, and wheat.
It's just another tool that we could potentially look at to help us be better farmers here in the state of Wisconsin. I think it fits within our farming practices and what we do.
Brown says hemp is being used in foods such as energy bars, and hemp seed oil is used in cosmetics and food products.
By the way, in the early 20th century, Wisconsin was a national leader in industrial hemp production. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week, Newsin and Cruisin, with Public News Service. We are member listener supported, and we are online at publicnewsservice.org.